Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio.
Good morning. We're 4 minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's been a joy to be with you this week, filling in for Peter Kapsner. Hope your Thursday, well, is off and running. There are those days that the toast gets burnt and the eggs get dropped. And then there are those days that you wake up, the sun is shining. And I would say this morning, at least in the Twin Cities, the sun is shining, and I hope it is in your world as well. As Peter Kapsner likes to say, the tomb is empty. And so the news is good. Logan Rausch is our producer, along with Paul Perot, our news director and assistant producer. Rachel Sutton, also, who helps with the show. Good morning to all of you. Logan, how are you today?
Doing fantastically, Dick. It is going to be cool today, and so I can finally rejoice and not have to fall into a puddle in the parking lot.
that's easy to do. Are you a Vikings or a Packer fan?
I grew up on the border of Wisconsin.
I know you do.
And I wasn't much of a football guy, so I played both sides in my family and got better Christmas presents.
Well, that's smart. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is putting tax dollars to work. She's putting out a bill to make sure that all Wisconsinites can watch Green Bay Packers games. Apparently, there's 13 counties that are assigned to an out-of-state local TV market. Those counties either get Minnesota Vikings or Detroit Lions, and especially when those teams are playing at the same time as the Packers. So Republican Congressman Sean Duffy proposed a similar act in 2015 and says Baldwin didn't support his bill, which he has championed for years. And so the great debate and battle goes on, does it not?
Oh, it's tough. It's a border battle.
All right. We're going to take a break here in just a moment. So excited to have Ben Johnson, senior editor of the Acton Institute, with us. He'll be joining us in just a few moments. We're going to be talking about a whole host of interesting topics and ideas. Love having Ben on the show. So we'll be back with more of Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Our time is 8 minutes past the hour, 6 o'clock. The walk-up music for our friend Ben Johnson, senior editor of the Acton Institute. It's a think tank whose mission is to promote free and virtuous society, characterized by individual liberty and sustained by religious principles, hence the song. Ben Johnson, good morning. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings.
Good morning, and wonderful to be with you this morning.
Well, thank you. Always look forward to having you on the show. Peter is off this week. He is back next week. He's on a little vacation, but I always count it a privilege to get the opportunity to fill in. And, I was doing my homework, and I didn't realize that the Acton Institute is really known for or is named after Lord John Acton, who, Logan, I believe even you will know this famous quote, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." Isn't that a great line? Well, Ben, we are just great to have you. Great to have you along today. Let's talk a little bit. There's so many things to get to, and so I don't want to waste your time. You have an interesting angle on the Trump-Putin summit, kind of a view from Eastern Europe. Talk to me about that.
Sure. So my job at the Acton Institute is that I edit Religion and Liberty Transatlantic. And so we take a look at the way that people from overseas look at things happening in the United States and vice versa. And we try to see the common challenges that we face in trying to build a nation or a global order that's based on religion and that is based on freedom and virtue, and how those things work together to produce freedom in different countries around the world. One of the people who wrote about this is a man by the name of Mihai Nemțu, who's a public intellectual in Romania. And Mihai, when he was looking at this, said, leave aside all of the discussion about intelligence agencies and Putin and everything else. Simply look at the public statements that President Trump made. Anytime that there's an international summit, there are two aspects to it. One of them is the formal announcement of the agreements, what was agreed to and who's getting what out of the agreement. And hopefully those agreements will last and persist and be observed in the future. The second part is the bully pulpit. And that's the area where Ronald Reagan excelled, where several presidents have gone out of their way to talk about American values. And he said that that was somewhat of a disappointment. He said Trump had the opportunity to go on the world stage next to Vladimir Putin and say that not only was Gazprom a bad deal, natural gas pipeline that's being built between Russia and Germany, not only is it a bad deal for Germany and Eastern Europe, but the reason that the United States is going to compete with them is because we have the free market, and the free market has unleashed our ability to have prosperity to such a degree that we're able to share that with Eastern Europe and with socialist economies or with stultified statist economies in Western Europe. So he said that President Trump had the opportunity, like he did in Warsaw a few years ago, to stand in front of the entire world and talk about the values that cemented Western civilization, faith, liberty, democratic values, the right of freedom of expression, the right of religious minorities, which is, of course, under threat to some degree in Russia, and the ability of everyone to engage in enterprise without corruption, which is a major problem, and how those things lead to a prosperous society. He thought that it was a missed opportunity.
Nemtu did say that Russian business, just like their politics, is filled with corruption. Their economy is 107th out of 180. Economy studies, according to the Index of Economic Freedom, Russia increasingly abuses individuals' economic and property rights, reducing the attractiveness of the country at home and its global competitiveness abroad. That's quite an indictment.
Well, it is. And of course, the sad thing is it's largely climbing upward from its past, of course, of 70 years of communism. So it was much worse in the past. And yet it still has a very long way to go. So you can see that there are massive problems there. And he also felt that the NATO summit was somewhat of a missed opportunity for exactly the same reason that, Trump could have stood next to Angela Merkel and said, here's how we have dealt with things in the United States. And these are the principles that as an alliance should guide all of us, all 29 members. And instead, he was dealing more with a domestic agenda of spending a certain percentage of GDP on defense, which our NATO allies have not been very good about before the entire existence of the NATO alliance, and about Gazprom. And since he was dealing with these sort of small domestic items, he missed the big picture. So that was his take, and I found it sort of enlightening how much the world still looks to the president of the United States, not just to set an agenda or to pursue a certain ideological path, but to be someone who speaks for Western values deeply from the core of the United States and what it means to represent the United States, to represent freedom, to represent faith and those values which have cemented Western civilization through our history.
If you have a question or a comment for Ben Johnson, if you'd like to call or text us today, you can at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Call or text your question and comment. We'd love to have you get in on the conversation. You know, Ben, what is lost in all of this is the week prior to the trip to Helsinki and, the European Union and into London, is President Trump really was having a great week. I mean, just so many great things that happened, great economic news, the GDP was climbing. I mean, it just seemed to be so good. And then he decided to leave the country.
And to question which country, which intelligence agency he believes the most. Yeah, I think that those comments, if we want to address them,
please.
I think it goes without saying where he's coming from is that this is the same intelligence agency that might indict him. The Mueller probe is something that at one point he sees as an existential threat to his presidency, and he's not wrong to see it that way. If he were to testify in front of Mueller, and contradict himself, which he's not always he's not always known for his consistency, shall we say, his public statements.
You're being kind, so, but go ahead.
to say the least. So you know, he's got a mind sort of like a fire hydrant. You know, everything comes out at once and goes in every direction. And so it's possible that he could contradict himself under oath, and that would be the end of his presidency, regardless of the underlying substance of the issue. So he's not going to do anything that would credit that entire process or to do anything that would discredit his electoral success in 2016. So that's the bottom line of all this. And then his attempt to walk it back, I think we can all say, is disingenuous. He obviously did intend to say would, not wouldn't. His intention was quite clear, and so he's doing damage control at this point. But I think that's the underlying reason, is that he simply doesn't want to do anything that would call into question his own political victory in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Ben Johnson, senior editor of the Acton Institute, is our guest. We're going to take a short break. Ben, when we come back, this story just keeps oozing out. It's evolving, and there's the possibility of President Trump turning over a former U.S. ambassador. I want to talk about that and a couple of other topics, and we'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment for Ben at 877-933-2484. You can call or text that number. We'll be back with more Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. We're 19 minutes past the hour. Ben Johnson, senior editor of the Acton Institute, is our guest in this segment. So glad to have Ben with us. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in for Peter Kapsner. Hoping your Thursday morning is off to a great start. Ben, one of the things that's kind of come out of all of this, right before the president went to Russia, to Helsinki, actually, the Robert Mueller's team indicted 12 Russians. In the course of the conversations that have since followed, President Putin says that there are some Americans that he would love to interview and perhaps interact with because of some concerns that he has. President Trump, however, according to this report, is considering turning over a former U.S. ambassador to Moscow for questioning. The White House says Trump spoke with Russian President Putin about former U.S. Ambassador Michael McFaul during their Helsinki summit. McFaul responded to the news last night on MSNBC.
This is yet another tactic to intimidate me, like he has done with other people. And I wish, I just hope my own president, my commander in chief, would understand it for what it is and push back, both in public and in private.
Ben, have you been following this story? Give us a little more context and development of it.
Well, McFaul, of course, former U.S. ambassador, as you mentioned, is someone that Putin says he would like to travel to Russia for interrogation. The United States is typically not in the process of handing people over for interrogation to other countries, particularly if someone serving in such a prominent capacity and charged by someone who's obviously heading an authoritarian regime. So this would be a major change in U.S. foreign policy, to say the least. Putin, on the other hand, offered to make the 12 people who were indicted available for U.S. Investigators to come over to Russia and interrogate there. So he's presenting this as a sort of an exchange or an equivalence almost. There's no equivalence here. The real target of all this, by the way, is a man by the name of Bill Brower. And Browder is someone who is behind what's called the Magnitsky Act, which has been one of the prime drivers in harming the Russian economy by placing sanctions against it for human rights violations. Countries all over the world have passed versions of the Magnitsky Act, which have cut down Russia's economic prospects so that the economy has continued to contract for several years. That's sort of the real point of the spear here. But the real issue is that being an American of any sort, I think, should have the protection of the president accompanying it in every way. So the president needs to protect the people who have worked for this country, either currently or in the past, and turning them over to a foreign regime on foreign soil would be outrageous. I think that what he what he's doing here is something out of the Art of the Deal, where he's floating this as a possibility simply to scare the deep state, simply to scare the permanent bureaucratic class into saying that those who are running afoul of me could end up being turned over and questioned, maybe sent to Siberia. So I think he's doing this in order to send a shiver down the spine of the bureaucratic class, and that it probably works very effectively. Ultimately, I don't think that he's going to do it. He certainly should not.
Well, that would be my assessment, but it would send a shiver down my spine just if I were in the McCall hot seat, just to say. Let's turn the corner a little bit. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course, she... at least in the primary, has unseated a 14th district in New York. She upended a long-term senator candidate, or actually a congressman. And so she's really kind of been embarrassing herself now that she's on the public stage. Pardon me. And she was actually on the NPR or PBS firing line with Margaret Hoover. And can you kind of elaborate, because she really kind of revealed her theology, her philosophy. She's truly got some great taglines, but no way to pay for them.
Well, to say the least, probably showing my age here, but there was a movie with Robert Redford called The Candidate about this man who had really no ideology or outlook or competence, but he ends up getting elected as, I think, Senator of California. And at the end of the movie, he turns to his campaign manager and says, "What do we do now?" So I think generally that's where she's coming from. Forgive me for saying so, but I honestly think that she was on this program, Firing Line, with Margaret Hoover, which was originally founded by William F. Buckley, Jr.
Yes.
That's another story as to how it ended up in Hoover's hands. But Hoover, who's sort of a socially liberal Republican, was questioning, and she asked some very simple. She's not William F. Buckley. She's not aggressive. She's not a combatant. But when she was speaking with Ocasio-Cortez, she said a couple of things. First of all, do you believe capitalism will come to an end? Why is it that capitalism has produced such wonderful prosperity and lifted so many people out of poverty? And Ocasio-Cortez says the reason that we have such low unemployment right now is because everyone has two or three jobs and is working 80 or 90 hours a week. Needless to say, that would be at best hyperbole, shall we say. Actually, the number of people who were working two jobs spiked and hit its highest point in the mid-1990s. Bob Dole tried to use that line in the 1996 presidential debate, and it did not go over. Because the economy was doing so well. But we've actually bottomed out in terms of the number of people working more than one job. It's at its lowest point in years from a 20-year high. So just on the fact, she's dead wrong. But when it comes to – and she talks about how we have Wild West capitalism, unregulated capitalism in the West. The Federal Register, which contains the number of federal regulations, was 96,000 pages long in 2016.
Wow.
So 96,000 pages, according to the American Action Forum, took 750 million hours of work time just to complete the paperwork of the regulations that have been passed over the last 15 years. So to say that we have an unregulated economy is ridiculous. And then she turned the corner and was talking about Israel. She used the term occupation of Palestine.
Yes, I read.
And Margaret Hoover asked a super tough question, which is, what do you mean by that? And she had no answer. And I'm sorry that this is radio. Even if you could play the clip, it doesn't convey the vacant stare in her eyes. She obviously had no idea what was going on. She couldn't define it. She said, well, I am not the expert on geopolitics. That's a quote. I am not the expert on geopolitics on this issue. Which is no problem unless your job requires you to be an expert on geopolitics. And your vote on geopolitics happens to affect the entire rest of the world. So it's kind of important that you know what you're talking about. I honestly think that what the interview with Margaret Hoover shows, and it was not an aggressive interview by any stretch of the imagination, what it shows is this young generation of democratic socialists has literally never been asked a single question and has nothing except slogans.
That, well, I think that's true. You know, I will give kudos to Margaret because I did watch the interview that she did press her and actually could have let her off the hook on a couple of her answers. But she was not aggressive at all, and yet it was still the vacant stare that kind of left you wondering, huh? Ben Johnson, senior editor of the Acton Institute, our guest today. Ben, always love having you on. Always appreciate your insight and your good work at the Acton Institute. Thank you for being a regular on Faith Radio Mornings.
Always my pleasure, and nice to speak with you, Dick. Thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. We're about 28 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break. Lighten Up with Ken Davis is next. 31 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being a part of Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, founder and owner of Starbucks. Turned 65 today. Hard to believe. And we enjoy his beverage each and every day. So happy birthday to our friend from Starbucks, and hope your day is going well. Coming up in just a moment, we'll have news. And after the news, we're going to be talking to Viktor Akhtarov of Far East Broadcasting. He's the Russian Ministry's director. Some incredible things are happening in Russia and the Ukraine that are of a gospel nature that you need to stay tuned for. I hope you will anyway. 31 past the hour. The good news of the gospel goes beyond the gift of salvation. That, according to Derwin Gray, pastor and author, former NFL football star, Derwin explains that God also gives us a new identity through Jesus.
So much about what Jesus has accomplished for us to give us a new identity, and the identity is his, that he shares his life, and what's true of him is now true of us.
That's Derwin Gray, pastor and author, and you can hear the entire interview by visiting our website, myfaithradio.com. You can click on the search bar and type in the name Derwin Gray. That's D-E-R-W-I-N-G-R-E-Y, Derwin Gray, and you can hear the interview. I'm Dick Whitworth. Thanks for joining us. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to be listening to an interview that we recorded with Viktor Akhtarov of the Far East Broadcasting Company. It's an incredible interview of what God is doing in Russia and in the Ukraine.
So what is the primary purpose of government? This is Jim Garlow. Government's primary purpose is to protect its citizens by restraining evil, including restraining evil in government itself, profoundly demonstrated in the fact that we have three branches of government, executive, legislative, and judicial. They're to keep each other in check. Why? Because of the capacity for evil in the human heart. The fact that we have three equal, supposedly equal, branches of government is an acknowledgement by our founders of a deeply held theological truth. Humans are capable of evil. They knew what they were talking about. They'd fled evil in the lands they left, constructing a new government to hold evil in check. That's why the Bill of Rights limits government, not its citizens. Peter said, "Do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God." There's more at jimgarlow.com.
Good morning and welcome to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, filling in again today for Peter Kapsner. Really appreciate you joining us as you do each and every weekday. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet for the Choose Joy devotional, Bible devotional by Kay Warren, I would encourage you to do so. You can win that, get that by visiting myfaithradio.com. Be sure to sign up and win. My guest today in this segment is Viktor Akhtarov. He is with FEBC. Which is Far East Broadcasting Corporation, and he is the director of Russian Ministries. He and his wife, Oksana, they have two sons. He has received degrees from Fuller Theological Seminary and Biola University in Southern California. He holds a doctorate degree in communications. And Viktor, I am just excited to meet you and looking forward to hearing your story. Welcome to Faith Radio Mornings.
Well, it's good to be here. What an introduction. Now I have to speak proper English after all of those degrees and stuff like that.
Well, I'm very impressed with your educational background, but I truly am impressed by the story of your life. Obviously, you grew up in Russia or the Soviet Union. Why don't you just kind of tell us your story? Because I know your father was imprisoned for his faith, and that just opens up so many interesting doors of conversation. So start where you would like, Viktor Akhtarov.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I don't even know. When you're 50, you don't know where to start. You know, you forget some stuff. But I grew up truly in the Soviet Union. My childhood was spent in the area which is now controlled by pro-Russian rebels in eastern Ukraine. So I don't even know which country I was born in. So the Soviet Union is continuing to be disintegrated, if you wish, and the problems continue. And but we grew up in that area. And as you mentioned, my dad was in prison. He was actually in prison twice. The first time he was imprisoned for building a small church, organizing a small church in that area. And somehow Ukraine was always very, very strict about that. So he received 5 years in, hard labor. And he was he went through that, learned a lot, as he used to say. And then after that, I was born, and then he was imprisoned the second time because he was a scientist, very, very influential. And, of course, I was talking to him just before he died, and, spending 11 and a half years in Soviet prisons, I asked him, what was the most difficult thing that you had to do in your life? And he said, my most difficult thing by far was giving up my career in science. And that was surprising to me because he went through torture in prisons. He was locked in small, tiny rooms for 8 hours where you can just stand there. And he would stand and pray there for 8 hours. And still the most difficult thing for him was saying no to his dream. So my dad is continuing inspiration to me as far as what is important in life, what can we sacrifice for Jesus, and what is the goal for your life. And for me, it's definitely preaching the gospel to the people of Russia, Ukraine, the former Soviet Union. That's where I find my passion, especially when you see what God is doing in Russia and Ukraine. There is just very recent development. Well, let me take you 50 years back. When my dad was released from prison and I was born, he, now a former scientist and a former engineer, and he could not find any work because he is now a former prisoner. So I was number five. The child is number five, and he doesn't have a job, and he did not know what to do. So he started praying, and he went to this little attic in his parents' house. And his dad was not a Christian, so he was downstairs screaming at him, you ruined your life. And my dad was screaming to God, help me, I need to feed my family. And it was a devastating experience. So he comes back from the attic, and the sister comes, a neighbor, and she says, God may have an answer for you. You can move to this little city of Shastya, and you can work there. It's a good place. Nobody will persecute you there, and you can work in a big city nearby. It was a miracle from God. Dad used to talk about it for years. It was a clear answer from God. Recently, a few months ago, we opened a station in that city of Shastya. So it is personal for me.
I bet.
And the city of Shastya is devastated by the war that is going on between, pro-Russian and pro-Ukrainian forces there. And people are suffering. And every family there lost someone to this war. And one lady, Maria, wrote to us and said, you know, it is amazing to see that everybody is trying to run away from this city, away from war, and you Christians came in, established a station here, and you are bringing us the word of God. And she said, today I know why I'm living, not only why I'm living in the city of Shastia, which translates as happiness, but she said, I know why I live on this earth.
So, Victor, let me try our ministry. Yes, like very exciting. I just want to interrupt just for a second because I want to reset this story. Victor Akhtarov, he's the FEBC, Far East Broadcasting's Russian Ministries Director. He's on Faith Radio Mornings, and we're talking about his story. I do have to ask you before we get into really what God is doing through your ministry. As a young person, and we only have about a minute here before we take a break, as a young person, how did your mom and dad explain your dad's prison time? How did your family accept and receive that? Because in America, as you know, in the United States, we get slighted by maybe not getting a promotion, and we think that's suffering for Jesus. Your dad was in prison. That's amazing to me.
You know, I visited my dad in prison, and it was, you know, the 2 hours that I spent there was like receiving a letter from Paul, when he wrote from prison. It was so inspiring. So as I was coming back after that, I knew that I wanted to be an evangelist because of those 2 hours. My dad was deep in a Siberian prison, and he was preaching the gospel there. And God was converting people left and right in that highly secured political prison deep in Siberia. And that gives inspiration. And then, you know, sometimes, you know, rocks would fly into our windows. And that was nothing comparing to what God was doing through my dad. So it was tough, but very, very exciting, and was such a blessed time.
Bless your heart. Well, Victor Akhtarov of FEBC, the Russian Ministries Director, is my guest. We're going to be back with more as Victor tells his story and also talks about the ministry of FEBC on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you again, filling in for Dr. Peter Kapsner, who is actually not far away on vacation. He's actually home this week, but he's taking care of his kids while his wife has some business travel connected to that. And so we honor that. But Peter is back on Monday, and Logan can't wait. I'm sure that's the case. If you're just joining us, we're in the middle of a conversation with Victor Akhtarov of FEBC. He's the director of Russian Ministries. Talking a little bit about his childhood. His dad went to prison twice for preaching the gospel. Victor grew up in the Soviet Union, but in the 80s, things began to change. Russia became a free country. Victor joined FEBC. And tell me how that happened. Where did you come up with a passion for radio or media, Victor?
Well, I don't know. You look back and you see God's plan very clearly, you know, as you look forward, you don't know what's going to happen. But I used to listen to FEBC growing up, and it always gave me a sense that Christianity is something more, something much bigger than our little church of about 70 people there. We used to go to the forest, hiding from the police to have our services, and then of course the police would come and find us, and we would have to run. And it feels like we are some kind of sect, you know. We are very, very small. And then you listen to the radio, and you understand that God is doing His work throughout the world. And I think that's when I began, thinking about radio. Just as a child, it would be so cool to sit behind the microphone. And eventually, I was able to. So I don't know. It's difficult to say when God put this passion in me. But I know when He put an opportunity in front of me, and I was just volunteering at FEBC, helping a little bit, and then the leader of the ministry came up to me and said, you know what, Victor, you spent 2 years in the Soviet Army. And you know how to talk to young people. We don't have any youth programs. why don't you do a youth program? And I said, you know, I have no training whatsoever. I don't know what to say. How do you do that? You know, and he said, oh, I'll give you training. And he brought me into the studio, set me behind the microphone, and said, just imagine that across the table there is a soldier friend who doesn't know Jesus. And just share Jesus with him, and that's going to be the best program you can produce. And that was the best training that I received, because people throughout the Soviet Union started to respond to those programs, and it was just amazing to see how many people were just hungry for God. Young people who were looking for something, not knowing what they're looking for, and suddenly they heard the good news. And thousands of people throughout Russia. You know, I used to live in the far eastern parts of Russia, and then, you know, in Latvia, the Baltic republics. It used to be one big country, and people throughout Siberia, throughout western parts of the country began responding, and it was such a blessing. So that's how we started. And then, of course, we built the first station in the Far East, being Far East Broadcasting Company, in the city of Khabarovsk. And God opened an opportunity for us, so we built the station right in the place where the jamming station used to be, and the station that used to jam our broadcasts coming from the Philippines, from the island of Saipan into Russia. And God, having his interesting sense of humor, let us put the first Christian station in Russia right on that place.
Well, you own, actually, FEBC owns local FM stations in Russia and Ukraine. And I know you're also advanced into the new technologies of online broadcasting and smartphone apps. But there are new developments even today in your ministry. Can you tell me what's happening even at this moment? We have about 4 minutes left.
Well, of course, we used to have stations in Moscow and St. Petersburg, and then 2 years ago, they were shut down by the Russian government, and we were devastated. We did not know what to do, and we were praying and planning to use new technologies, and now we were forced to move much faster into that area. So we started doing all kinds of things, just trying to see how we can reach people through the internet, because it's, you know, you can have your little website, and that's going to be it. But we found several very, very effective ways of reaching people. Last month, we had 6 million listeners to our online broadcast. We never had such a great number. That's, you know, and that's a huge percentage of Russians who listen to us, and it is just a blessing. We just created a series of little videos about soccer. You know, I know Americans don't care about soccer, but there was a world championship.
I heard.
just ended now, and 5 million Russians watched our videos about, you know, it's a soccer team, but it's about Christ. So,
oh, beautiful
stuff like that. But in Russia, of course, life for Christians is becoming more and more difficult. We had about, in the past 2 years, we had close to 700 judgments against Christians. Just yesterday, somebody had to pay a fine of $700 for preaching the gospel without a license, just a Baptist lay person. And just a couple of days ago, somebody was arrested in Moscow, just trying to distribute literature. And stuff like that is happening. So it is becoming more and more difficult to preach the gospel. And we have to consider those difficulties and still be effective in reaching people for Christ. In Ukraine, of course, the situation is very different. In a few days, we'll be opening our 7th station in Ukraine, and that's going to be in the city, and that is also kind of in the line of fire, where people are living scared of war, and we'll be opening a station there. And Ed Cannon will be with me, so we'll have a little celebration, and we are praying for this city that used to be named the city of the Red Army. Now they changed the name to the city of God's covering, and I believe that God will save hundreds of people there. So we are excited about what God is doing in Ukraine, even though the country is going through very difficult times.
Sure. Victor, thank you. No, I'm sorry to interrupt. I have a hard break coming up here in a few moments. Thank you for sharing. This is incredible. We love FEBC. We love what you're doing, and we're going to be praying for you, the city of God's covering. May God bless literally that new FM operation and opportunity. Friends, if you would like more information about the Ministry of Far East Broadcasting, their website is febc.org. And again, you can find Victor Akhtaroff. You can check it out on their search bar and find out what God is doing in Russia and the Ukraine. Back with more of Faith Radio Mornings in a moment. We're 57 minutes past the hour. Faith Radio Mornings, I'm Dick Whitworth, Logan Roush. This is one of your favorite bumper music.
I can't not dance to it. It's impossible.
Well, you do well. Hey, by the way, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Joshua Good. He is the editor of The Faith Angle. It's actually a new assignment for him. We'll find out about his responsibilities and how God is using that ministry. And one of our favorites, Karen Swallow Pryor, will be joining us, and we're going to be talking about, how to be a good neighbor, essentially, some of the important usage of social media and how you can be better at it and be kind while you're doing it. It's kind of a concept.
It's a really important concept to master, too. I've been blocked by every person at Faith Radio, so I could really use this.
Well, this will be one interview you can pay attention to. We're going to be taking a break for news at the top of the hour. Thank you for joining us. Hope your Thursday is off and running and you're off to a good start. Thanks for joining us on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.